Hello, everybody. We are so excited that you have joined us tonight for the May partner call of A New Thing Ministries. Kim and I have been talking today, and we are just really, really looking forward to tonight's teaching.
Kalita, I think you need to mute somebody.
Yep, I'm muting them right now. Mute.
Okay.
There we go. Okay. That's the one thing I always forget. I need to add that to my list. Anyway, Kim has been
give me a what?
Why am I saying?
Yeah.
Are you there, Kim?
I am, but it sounds like Randy.
Oops, sorry.
Mute him.
I think you muted himself. Okay, there we go. Anyway, tonight's teaching is going to be just awesome, and we've really been looking forward to this today, and we've been sharing about it and talking about it, and every time we talk about it, God gives more revelation. So I'm going to give her all the time she needs, and we're just going to get right into the lesson tonight. So go ahead, Kim.
Thank you, Kalita. And thank you to everyone that's come on the call. I want you to know that this is important to us, and we value this time to be able to minister to our partners each month. It is a blessing to me, and I look forward to what God wants to share. And this week, I think he's given me a word in due season. Like Kalita said, we've been talking about it throughout the day, she and I, and God just kept adding to it. I know you guys got some notes, and you're going to find that probably a third of it is not in your notes, but that's because God woke me up this morning and started talking to me and taking me a little deeper into this teaching. So I think it will be a blessing to you. Let's pray before we get started. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the callers that have come on this call, Lord. I ask you to bless them, Lord. Give them ears to hear and hearts to understand, Lord. I pray that this word would go deep into their spirit and it would bring change and restoration and redemption and reconciliation, God. I thank you that the word is followed by miracles, signs, and wonders. And, God, it doesn't matter how it's taught or how it's preached, but it is followed by miracles, signs, and wonders. So I expect, God, everyone on this call to experience miracles, signs, and wonders following this word tonight. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. I give you my voice. I give you my mouth. I give you my mind. I ask you to speak to me, through me and to bring healing and encouragement to your people tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to talk with you guys tonight about honor. I had spoken with Carol last week, and she was asking me about the call tonight, and I said, I don't even have a subject. And as I was sharing with Kalita a few minutes ago, immediately the Lord said, teach on honor. So that's where I'm going to start tonight. Most of you probably have read scriptures in the Bible about honor, but I'm going to go over some of the meanings of honor to set a foundation. In the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says, the esteem due or paid to worth, a high estimation. It's also defined as any expression of respect or of high estimation by words and actions, or any act by which reverence and submission are expressed. So when you honor someone, you are expressing reverence, but not only reverence, also submission. It's also worship as paid to a supreme being, which we honor God. To reverence, to manifest the highest in word and action, to entertain the most exalted thoughts of. I think that's very important, that even in our thoughts, we honor people and we honor God. It's a respect, it's giving worth and honor to someone, and it's not a matter of forcing one to submit to an authority because that authority is stronger or has a great exertion of power. It's about submission. It begins with an attitude of gentleness and a reverence from a heart that wants to honor and from a heart that wants to be obedient. Isaiah 1:19 says, it is the willing and obedient that eat the good of the land. We've got to not only be obedient to God's word, but we've got to want to be obedient to his word if we want to eat the good of the land, and that comes from the heart. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commands. That was Jesus. It shows our love when we obey the word of God. It shows our honor. 11:28 of Luke says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. See, all these scriptures are talking about obeying the word of God, and I'm going to show you through this teaching that as we obey the word of God, we are honoring God. Proverbs 3:5-6, a very well-known scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. We all want our paths to be made straight, but the only paths that are going to be made straight are the ones that you acknowledge him in. And to acknowledge means to own it. So you have to, if you make a mistake, you own it and acknowledge the way God would have you to do it, and he will make straight that path. I told Kalita earlier, I don't think I've ever repented as much in my entire walk with God as I have in the year 2017. It feels to me like as I have pressed into God, into the things of God, that he is going deeper and deeper in me and showing me things that I need to get rid of that I didn't realize were there. I would like to say they're not sins, but I guess the Bible does call them sins. They're hidden secret faults is what it says in the Psalms. Things that I didn't even realize I was doing that was not honorable to God. So he's really digging deep in me this year, and I'm so thankful that he is, because as he does that, he removes anything from my life, from my heart, from my mind that would be a hindrance to whatever it is I'm believing him for. From the Baker's Bible Dictionary, the root of honor is the word kabod, and it literally means heavy or weighty. The figurative meaning is more common. It means to give weight to someone, to honor someone, to grant a person a position of respect and even authority in one's life. Again, as we honor God, we submit and give him a position higher than us, as we should, and we grant him authority in our life. In whatever area we are honoring God, we grant him the authority of that situation in our life. Now, honor is an internal attitude of respect, but it also must be accompanied by an appropriate action. Honor without corresponding action is incomplete. Isaiah 29:13, in the Bible, it calls this lip service. The Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, they have removed their hearts far from me. A heart that has been removed from God will not honor him. It may even obey him, but it will not honor him. It will be simply lip service. Now, God is honored when people do the things that please him. Let's look at a few scriptures that talk about this. Psalms 91:14-16 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We all love the scriptures and we all love the word, and I don't mean this to be offensive to anybody, but if we're going to walk in the promises of God, we're going to have to do what the word says. We can't just pull out this scripture and say, God, I thank you that you're with me in trouble, you deliver me and honor me and you satisfy me with long life. You can't expect that promise to be fulfilled unless you first set your love upon him. Unless you first honor him and set him up on high, unless you first know his name, unless you first obey his word, then the promises of God apply to you. I have found in the church to a great degree that we often apply verses to our lives that we're not honoring or living. And it does not work that way. And there's no reason to wonder why it's not working. You have to do what the Word says to receive the benefit that that Word promises. I remember one time years and years ago, I was driving down the road, and God had said something to me, if you do this, I'll do this. And I said, God, why is it always that way with you that you say, if you do this, I'll do this? And he just started quoting scripture after scripture after scripture to me that says, when you do this, this is the promise. When you do this, this is the promise. And that's the way that it is in the Word of God. It's a covenant. It's a two-sided thing. We obey him, and he blesses us. We can't expect him to just bless us if we're not obeying his word. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14 says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Here again we see that if we call the Sabbath holy, if we honor God, and we honor him by not doing our own thing, by not finding our own pleasure for that day, and by not speaking our own words, but speaking as the Bible tells us to, then we delight ourselves in the Lord, and then we receive our inheritance. Psalms 37:4, we all know this scripture too. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We delight ourselves in the Lord by honoring him and esteeming his word higher than our own thoughts, esteeming his word and choosing to do what his word says instead of what we want to do. It's the same with our kids. I mean, we expect them to honor us. And that's scriptural. That's the first promise with the promise, as you'll see. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord God has given you. I have always prayed this over my daughter and my grandchildren, because this is a serious thing. If you don't honor your father and your mother, God has said things won't go well with you and your life can even be cut short. And I see so much dishonor for parents in this day. It absolutely astounds me. If I had have spoken to my mother or my father the way I hear some children and grown adults speak to their mother and father, oh, my goodness, it just never entered my mind. I was not raised that way. We honored and respected our mother, even if they were wrong. My mom is 75 years old, and if she says something that is completely wrong, I still honor my mother because I have a healthy fear of the Lord, and I know what the scripture says. I don't want to bring something into my life by dishonoring my mom, and neither should you. Children honor parents by respecting and obeying them, and it is the same way with God. We honor God by respecting, giving him reverence, and obeying his word. Now, I was going to move on to something totally different and continue on with honor, but as I said, the Lord woke me up this morning and added some things to this teaching. The Lord has been talking to me a lot about open doors to the enemy this year. It seems like every time I turn around, he's showing me this will open a door to the enemy. Because I've been praying, God, show me anything in my life that's hindering you or that allows the enemy into my life. Show me anything that I need to know. And he has been faithful to do that. And I've been studying and meditating on this honor teaching. And then last night a situation occurred and some words were spoken. And as I was driving home, the Lord said to me, dishonor opens the door to the enemy. Now, to dishonor is defined as to bring shame or disgrace on, to fail to observe or respect a person, to fail to value someone. If we dishonor people, that opens a door to the enemy. I see dishonor a lot in relationships, in marriages, in other relationships, and acquaintances. There's many ways that you can dishonor, but I'm going to go over a few of them with you tonight, a few of them that God illuminated to me. One way that you can dishonor, bring shame or disgrace on, fail to observe or respect a person, and fail to value that person is to gossip about them. When we break the confidence of a friend or a loved one or a leader, we are dishonoring the relationship that we have with them. And this happens most often when we are confiding in friends. But you see, God doesn't look at it as a light thing. In 2 Timothy 3:2-9, God puts gossipers with some very nasty offenders. The scripture says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into household and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sin, led away by lust, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as they resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But here's the scary part about that to me. The word goes on to say, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. If you are unthankful, if you are unloving, unforgiving, a slanderer, a gossiper, a traitor, meaning you give your word and you don't keep it, the Bible says they will progress no further. This, as I've already shared, has caused me to repent numerous times because I don't want to be any of these things, not even in a situation that causes me great distress. I don't want to do anything in my life that will cause me to stop my progression in the Lord, that will stop me in my progression to my promise. I want to make sure that my heart is kept right at all times with the Lord. Another thing, another way to dishonor others is broken promises or oaths. Once again, most people do not know how important an oath is in the spirit realm. God talks about this. He talks about broken oaths, and they're important. If you'll read through your Bible, you will see. But the enemy loves to prowl around and look for a door into your life. So don't make a promise that you cannot keep. Don't give your word on something that you don't intend to do. One of the first things God worked into my life when I became born again was swear to your own hurt and change not. And to me that meant if I give my word, even if keeping it causes me hurt, I need to keep my word if at all possible. And I have drilled this in my daughter, and one of her biggest problems is with people who will not keep their word. And I know it's because I've drilled this in her head. But in the body of Christ even, we see this all the time, and it is so sad to me. If you give your word, keep it. James 5:12 says, but above all, do not swear either by heaven or earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Deuteronomy 23:23 says, that which has gone from your lips, you shall keep and perform. Proverbs 20:25 says, it is a trap to promise something that you cannot deliver. Proverbs 25:14 says, if a man offers a gift and does not give it, he's like a cloud and wind without rain. In other words, it produces nothing. Rain represents a blessing of God, and you cannot make a vow and not keep it. That will open up the door to the enemy in your life. Another way that we dishonor is through resentment. John Bevere calls resentment the bait of Satan, and the devil loves to dangle this one in front of our nose. Resentment is not unforgiveness, and it's not hatred. it occurs when we decide within ourselves that I will never let go of this hurt. I will never let go of this. I may forgive you, but I won't forget it. Has anybody ever said anything like that? I've heard that a zillion times. I can forgive them, but I won't forget it. You're saying I will never let go of this hurt that you've caused me. More relationships are dishonored when partners will not release resentment. When you will not release resentment about your spouse, about your children, about your family, about your leaders, if you do not let it go, the Bible says in Hebrews 12 that it will regress into a root of bitterness and will defile many. We cannot harbor resentment. Okay, another way that we can dishonor others is by curses. If we wish harm or ill on another person, we're cursing them. The Bible's clear about that. And the stronger we say this and the more we wish this, the more power the enemy has to come against that person. I mean, I hear people say all the time, I wish that person would die, or I hope they get what's coming to them, or I'm done with you, never once realizing that there is an enemy who is looking for an open invitation to wreak havoc in a household. And when we say things like that, we are giving him an invitation, a door in, to wreak havoc in our life. The Bible's clear. James 3:9 says, both blessing and cursing proceed from one place, your mouth. So you've got to watch what your words say, and you've got to watch what you're teaching your children and those around you. Don't dishonor others. Now, I'm sure that there's other ways you could dishonor people in our lives, but I just wanted to go over a few, and I want you to remember this. Dishonor brings judgment every single time. Remember Noah and the great honor that God had bestowed upon him? I mean, he saved him and his family from the flood. He had to watch the whole world be destroyed. I can't even imagine how horrific that was, but he saved him and his family, and he protected them and the animals so that they could start life again. And then after the flood, we've read in the Bible where Noah drank and he became naked, and one of his sons found him and went and told the other son and was laughing about it, and the other sons covered up his shame. They covered up his weakness. In the body of Christ, we are commanded to honor every member. And the Bible even says that the unseemly parts are more honor. They get more honor. But the Bible says we're to honor all men and honor the king. That's in 1 Peter 2:17. We're to honor all people. We are additionally required to honor church elders. That's 1 Timothy 5:17. We are to honor and respect those who have employed us. That's in 1 Timothy 6:1. We are to honor widows, 1 Timothy 5:3. We are to honor our spouses, 1 Peter 3:7, Ephesians 5:22. And we're even to honor the unseemly. That's in 1 Corinthians 12:23 through 25. I want to read it to you. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with this. I believe we can all agree. I believe we're all mature members of the body of Christ. I believe we can all agree that when someone comes out against a well-known minister, man or woman of God, and dishonors them publicly, the whole body suffers. People look at the church and the whole body suffers. If we could do like Noah's sons and pray for that person and talk to them if we need to, but to cover their weaknesses. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. And I don't know about you, but if it were me and I had fallen or made a mistake, I would be so thankful for the people that would pray for me, but that not would not publicly uncover my nakedness. The Lord himself bestows honor upon people. John 12:26 says, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And Psalms 91 says, because he has loved me, I will honor him. So if the Lord has no problem honoring people, considering this great and awesome God, why are we so apt to dishonor each other? The word honor in the Greek means to fix a value to esteem by implication, and to revere. For honor creates a spiritual buffer against the enemy's attacks. And honor releases the power of God, while dishonor greatly hinders it. Jesus taught in Matthew 13, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many miracles because of their unbelief. The people in Jesus' hometown did not honor him, and because of their lack of honor, they shut down the power of God, and Jesus was not able to do miracles there. When we dishonor people, we shut down the power of God, and God is not able to do the miracles that we need him to do. Now let's return to the story of Noah. When Ham exposed his father, Noah cursed the son of Ham, Canaan. Why did he curse Ham instead of Ham's son? Because he knew that as Ham had been to him, so Canaan would be to Ham. Noah's curse was actually very profound. He said that Canaan would be a servant of servants. You can read about this in Genesis 9. Why? Because if you can't honor an imperfect leader, you will never advance, and you will always be a slave. You see, there are no leaders that are perfect. Your boss, your pastor, your teacher, the mayor in your town, your father, your mother, we're all imperfect. And when we expose them by humiliation or dishonor, by telling others of their weaknesses, it brings a curse upon us, just like it did in the life of Ham. And we will never advance in life with such an attitude. To be successful, you need to be able to submit to your leaders who are imperfect without dishonoring them. And I'm not saying to ignore any wrong that they're doing, but the Bible tells us ways to handle that. We can go and talk to them. We can take others and talk to them. We can go to a different church, but we don't have to open our mouth against them and dishonor them. You don't have to trust them, but you do have to honor and respect them because God put them in that position. We have to remain respectful and humble at all times and pray for that person. I don't know, maybe you have lack or maybe you feel like you've been unable to advance in your life. And if possible, could there be something that is hindering you that is tied to a dishonoring spirit? If so, just ask God to forgive you for not relating with honor to imperfect authority. Learn to pray for those over you. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. Intercede on their behalf. Pray that they'll have their eyes open to the tactics of the enemy. Plead the blood of Jesus over them. But remember, cursed is everyone who seeks to expose a leader's flaws. The generations of Ham became slaves, and how we relate to imperfection of our leaders determines not only our future, but the future of our children and our children's children. Do your kids hear you complain about your boss? Do they hear you make ugly comments about your pastor? Do they listen when you criticize others? If so, be careful. Don't set them up to fail in life. Set them up to succeed. A dishonoring spirit will cause them to remain frustrated and not able to advance. But an honorable spirit will set them up for success. Now, I'm going to move on back to the subject that I began with. First, I want to tell you, I'm sorry, I turned the page. I want to tell you there are ways to get rid if this has convicted you at all. It convicted me greatly. There were different things that the Lord showed me. I have repented all day. And if you find that this has been going on in your life, condemnation is not of God. allow the Holy Spirit to convict you and repent. And that means more than just saying sorry. It means to acknowledge and understand that what you're doing is wrong and to choose different actions. Break off bad relationships. Apologize for hurts. Cut off access to things or people that make it worse. Watch your words. Refuse to dishonor. And then number two, change. Get to the root of why you're doing what you're doing. It's usually insecurity. And number three, accountability. Admit to others what you've done and ask them, you know, admit to one of your friends what you've done and ask them to watch and to call you out on it if you persist in doing this. Kalita and I do this all the time. And then pray a blessing over that person. The Bible says that we're to bless others and not curse them. If you have cursed through your words, your spouse, your family, your kids, through dishonor, then dedicate your heart to the future to bless them through the word, through deed, and through prayer. If you sow dishonor, you will reap what you have sown. But if you repent and you begin to sow honor, you will reap honor. If you want God to honor you, you must first honor him. 1 Samuel 2:30 says, "But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Isaiah 58:13-14 says, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him," we've already read the scripture, "you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and God will honor you." He will honor you. Proverbs 3:9-10. This, believe it or not, was my base scripture, the one the Lord started with. "Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." This is what I want you to see tonight, guys. Plenty and overflow have everything to do with honor. Where there is no honor, there will be no plenty or no overflow. When you honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, then your barns are filled with plenty. When you honor the Lord with your possessions, I get email after email, day after day, of people that need a financial miracle. If you honor the Lord, plenty and overflow will come your way. Remember, honor without a corresponding action is incomplete. We don't want to be a people that honor God with our lips, but our heart is far from him. If we honor God, we will honor him with our possessions. Isaiah 43:23 says, "You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifice. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices." I love this scripture because that tells me when I bring an offering to the Lord, he is satisfied, and I love that. Now, I think we touched on this a few teachings ago, but Proverbs 15:33 and Proverbs 8:12 both say, "Before honor is humility." Luke 14:11 says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Proverbs 22:4 says, "The reward of humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life." James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." You see, guys, honor is rooted in humility. Dishonor is rooted in pride. And pride goes before a fall. We must first humble ourselves, just like I taught at the beginning of this, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, honor what his word says to do, and as we do that, overflow and plenty will come our way. I can say that because I've seen that. I have always tithed and given offerings to God. It's just how I've lived my life. But at the beginning of this Jewish calendar a few months ago, God changed the way that I did my personal tithe and offering. And like they say, don't try this at home. I'm not saying you should do this. I'm just saying he gave me a total different mindset concerning my tithe and my first fruit offering. And it's been several months now. When he first told me he wanted me to change it really sent a shockwave through my mind, because the day he told me to change was the day before I would need to give my first fruit offering, and the way he told me to do it, it would take my entire paycheck for the week. So it kind of shocked me, but what the Lord told me to do, he told me to start at the beginning of the Jewish calendar, and on the first day of every month, to give him a first fruit offering and to give my tithe. But he said, do not give your tithe. Honor me with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, and do it on the first day of every new month. And the first couple months of that was very difficult. I must tell you, they were very difficult, especially the first month. It was extremely difficult for me. But I began to do that. I submitted myself to that word from God, and I would give my tithe and my first fruit, and I would pray, God, I honor you with my tithe and with my first fruit offering. This is what you said to do. I submit myself and I give you complete authority, not only over my money, but over how and when I do it. And I give this to you. I honor you with this. And I have got to tell you, like I said, the first couple months were difficult. But the last couple months, I have been blessed more than I can ever remember in a long, long time. Blessings have just simply came my way out of nowhere. It has been the most surprising thing, and it has become easy for me to honor God with my possessions and to honor God with the first fruits of my increase. So I would highly recommend, if you're experiencing lack at all, that you seek the Lord and ask him to give you his way for you to honor him with your possessions, to honor him with your first fruit offerings, to honor him so that the plenty and the overflow will come to you. I've seen him do it, and I know that he will do it. And when we do this, guys, we are giving him complete authority over how and when we do it, and he honors us right back and fills our lives with plenty. That's my word for you tonight. I'm going to pray over you guys, if that's okay, and then Kalita's going to pray over you. I hope it's not been too long. I hope you got something out of this message. It has been a blessing in my life personally today. Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, we receive it with grace. God, we receive it with excitement, God, of the things that you're doing in our lives, that you are taking everything the enemy meant for our harm, and you will turn it for our good. And God, those areas where we need to make an adjustment, or where we've got off the mark just a little bit, those secret faults, God, that we don't even realize we're doing, Lord, as a body, as a group, God, we repent and we ask you to forgive us. God, if there has been a spirit of dishonor in our lives, in our children's lives, in our parents' lives, God, we break that off of our family, and we declare and decree that we are a people of honor. We will not dishonor others. We will not dishonor leadership. We will not curse with our mouth, but we will honor, and we will be a people of honor. Father, I thank you that you show yourself strong on the behalf of every person on this call, and as they begin to show honor, and as they begin to speak words of blessing, God, that you just pour over them overflow and plenty. God, where there's lack, may there be abundance. Where there's been sickness, may they be made every whit whole. God, where there is confusion, may there be peace. Where there has been division, oh God, may there be reconciliation and restoration. Father, like I said in the beginning, I expect miracles, signs, and wonders to follow the teaching of this word. And God, as we submit to your authority and as we line up with your word, I thank you, God, that the blessings of Abraham come upon us and that our inheritance comes to us now. Father, these are our partners, and they honor you with their possessions. So, Father, I am asking you to fill their barns with plenty and to cause overflow to come into their lives like never before. I thank you for every partner, God. I bless them in Jesus' name. I ask you to multiply your blessings upon them this night, God, and pour out on them like you've never poured out in their lives before. Lord, may they see your hand move in their life in a mighty way. God, as they delight themselves in you, give them the desires of their heart. I thank you for what you're doing in their life, God, and I give you praise for every one of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Cam, that was awesome. I mean, I have no toes left, but I'm going to go get
sorry.
The calves. No, it's good. I always want to move forward, so I'm always thankful for the correction of the Lord. And we need the Lord corrects those he loves. So I feel very loved tonight. but I always, you know, I always write little things down that stand out to me. That you said, you know, judgment or dishonor brings judgment, but honor is a spiritual buffer against the attacks of the enemy.
Yes.
Wow. God just, he doesn't just give us something to do. He gives us something to do with benefits. He doesn't just say, do it because I said so, even though he could.
Right.
But he always gives a benefit, which is, he's just so faithful. And, you know, in the beginning you said, you must do what the word says in order to receive the benefit. And that's very simple. That's simple. And I love that. You don't have to trust the person, but you have to honor them. That spoke to me volumes because we've all been hurt. We've all been betrayed. Most of us have been hurt in church. You know, it's just part of life.
And the things we say are often true.
Yeah.
They're true factual things, but if they're dishonorable, we still don't need to let them come out of our mouth.
No. I heard this one time that the definition of gossip is a negative truth spoken in the absence of the person.
Mm.
And that hit me hard because when you think it's true, you don't think there's anything wrong with speaking the truth.
Right.
But if it's not edifying people, if it's not edifying your hearer, if it's not anything that that person needs to know, it's gossip.
So yes, the Bible says to think on things that are good and pure and lovely and of a good report.
Yes. Philippians 4:8, one of my favorites. So, anyway.
He doesn't just tell us what not to do. He tells us what to do.
That's exactly right. He's a good, good father.
He is a good father.
He's a good father. So I'm very thankful. So I'm going to pray, and then I'll give you all the callback information and let you know about next month. So, Father, Lord, we just thank you. We honor you tonight, God. And, Father, we ask you to forgive us for any time that we have not kept our word to you, any time that we have brought dishonor to your name. Jesus, if there is anything specific that we need to repent for, we ask right now that you would bring it to our minds, even over the next few days, as we quiet ourselves in prayer and seek your face, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would just remind us and show us, Lord. And if you'll do that, Father, we will be faithful to repent and to turn and to do your will. Father, if we've dishonored our parents, our spouse, our children, fellow Christians, Lord, we repent and we ask you to cleanse us and to forgive us of all unrighteousness according to 1 John 1:9. Father, if we have made vows that we have not kept, if we hold resentment or unforgiveness, God, if there's any area of insubordination where we need to be submitted, Lord, show us. And even I believe even over the next few days, Lord, that you will begin to show us when these temptations arise, that you'll begin to bring this teaching back to us and remind us as we learn and we walk this process out to change. Father, we just thank you for that. Now, God, I want to honor and thank you for the gift that you have placed in Kim. God, thank you for the teaching that you gave us tonight through this vessel. God, we thank you for her. She has just been such a blessing to my life and I know to others. God, I'm so thankful for New Thing Ministries. I'm so thankful for the relationship, for the purity of heart where she teaches from, God. And, Lord, we honor and value the gift that you have put in Kim and what she is to the body. So thank you, Father. And remind us, Lord, to
honor and value the gifts that you put in our lives on a daily basis. Our pastors, our leaders, God, remind us to be thankful, Father. Lord, we thank you also for the other gifts. Lord, remind us of those gifts, even the ones that we have forgotten. And over the next few days, Lord, I ask that you would begin to highlight to us anyone that we need to show honor to. Maybe it's someone that we don't even really know or we've just glossed over. But, Father, that person who is maybe not the biggest, the most highlighted person in the body, but they need a touch. They need to be honored. Father, use us to show honor and to bring honor to others, because as you do, we will bring honor to you. Yes. Now, Father, we are very grateful. We are grateful and we are thankful. And, Father, we want to remain humble and submitted to your word and to put you first in all things. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this correction, Jesus. We humbly receive it, and we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory that is due your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, this was awesome. I want to tell you that the callback number, if you want to call back in tomorrow or the next day, because I'm probably going to, it's the same access code, but the callback number is 712-770-4349. And as I did last month, I'll get this sent out to the partners tomorrow, and I'm going to have a complete copy of Kim's notes to send out. And I would encourage you to take these notes and really study this for yourself, because God's going to speak to you where you're at. He's going to speak to you. He's going to highlight on things that Kim said, but every person is different, and he's going to speak to you into the area that you need to hear most. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take these notes, and I'm going to study and really seek the Lord, and I believe we're going to be better people for it, and it's going to be awesome. And we're so blessed. We thank you for your partnership. We thank you for your prayers. Please email us and let us know. We love feedback. If you need prayer, signs, miracles, and wonders that are going to follow the word that was taught tonight, so begin to give us your testimonies. And then we will also let you know when we get a date for June. Do you have anything else, Kim?
No, that's it. Just thank you for coming on the call. I hope you've enjoyed it. Like Clay said, if you need prayer, you can email us at prayer@anewthingministries or Kim@anewthingministries or give us a call. We'd love to pray with you. And we're so glad you were here. Thank you for coming.
Okay.
Have a blessed night.
Yes. Bye-bye.